Church to the second Sunday of the new year. Have you had a good Christmas time thus far? Yep. Still eating plenty? Yes. Well, Christine and I are on holiday as of tomorrow, and very much looking forward to, not that we will miss you terribly, don't worry about that, we'll miss you terribly. However, it'll be nice not to see you for 3 weeks, and you probably feel the same way, so there you go. But we are looking forward to getting away and catching up with the rest of our family down in the South Island and spending some time with them, so it should be great. Last Sunday began the year with a message from Genesis 12. And essentially the message was that it is in the heart of God to bless his children. And I made it very clear, hopefully I made it very clear, that in saying that I'm not a believer in the prosperity gospel, and I hope, hopefully you heard that, that's not what that message was about. Just bless me God, that kind of stuff. That's not what the Bible says. But I was very, very clear about the fact that that God does desire to bless his children. And I wanted to point that out to us right at the beginning of this year. 2020 is gone. Someone say hallelujah. It's gone. It's behind us. We will never have it again. Thank goodness for that. But who knows what's going to happen this year? Who knows? She told me to stop that. I'm trying to be positive here. Who knows what good things will happen this year, because it is in the heart of God to bless his children. Scripture is very, very clear about that. Does that mean that we will not go through difficulties, trials, testings, and tribulations? No, it doesn't mean that. But it does mean that in the midst of whatever it is we're going through, there is a peace that comes from God, a promised peace to all believers. In the middle of chaos, it's that kind of situation. I think some of you could relate to this, if not all of you. You can be in the middle of a, metaphorically speaking, a storm. And you cry out to God, as we're going to hear very soon that David did. Cry out to God. In the midst of that, there is this peace that comes over you. You cannot manufacture it. You cannot pretend about it. It is something that comes only from God, because only God can give it. That's what I'm talking about when I say that God does indeed want to bless his children. Now, it does include your economy as well. Of course it does. It includes your whole life, every area of your life. So I want to be very, very clear about that. That's how we began the year last Sunday. And the covenant that was made to Abraham, which is called the Abrahamic covenant, funny old thing, at the end of it, God said, and through you, Abraham, all peoples on the earth, listen, will be blessed. Absolutely. And then I asked the question, just to make sure that we are biblically correct here and biblically sound, does that promise apply to us today? And the answer was found in Galatians chapter 3, verse 7 to 9. Understand then that those who have faith are children of Abraham. So if you have faith in who God is, you are a child of Abraham. That's it. You are connected with him spiritually. Scripture foresaw that God would justify the Gentiles by faith. That's us. We're Gentiles, justified by faith, and announce the gospel in advance to Abraham that all nations will be blessed through you. So those who rely on faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith. That's you. That's me. This morning, I want to build upon that message with a partnership theme that's entitled New Beginnings. Amen. Thank goodness for new beginnings. Thank goodness for new beginnings. The Bible has a lot to say about new beginnings. Genesis, the book of Genesis, actually means beginnings. And whatever was there beforehand, the earth was formless and void. The earth was clearly there, but there was chaos over, darkness was over the deep. There was just this formlessness. God come along and at a word started afresh. That's a brand new beginning right there of the globe. So we see it right there at the beginning of Genesis. And when you read the Bible, you will discover that it is chock full of stories of new beginnings. Some of you that are here today, quite a number of you, have come from other countries. Well, that's a fresh start, isn't it? That's why you left your homeland, packed everything up, took a massive risk, I'm sure, left an awful lot of stuff behind, memories and family and a whole host of other things that I probably don't fully understand. But you left that and you started what? A new beginning. You started afresh. And that's what happened to Abraham. And when he left his homeland, with all his, God came along to Abraham, who was at that point in time living in a place called the Ur of the Chaldeans, which they think is in southern Iraq, somewhere in that vicinity. So here's Abraham with his family. He had his wife and his family. He had servants. He had donkeys and animals and all sorts of things. God comes along to this guy who's kind of just an obscure nomad out there in the desert. And God said to him, Abraham, I choose you. Now pick your family up, everything that you have, and listen to this, and start walking in that direction with everything that you've got. And somewhere along the line, I'll tell you where you're going to go. Smile, everyone. Somewhere along the line, when I'm good and ready, God said, I'm going to tell you where you're going to go. And you know what happened? You know the story. Abraham said, yes, sir. He just said, yes. Well, he might have said some other words too. Perhaps he did in Hebrew. The reality was that he said yes. And he followed. And God took him right to the border of Canaan. And that's a whole new beginning right there. You know, the most important beginning that we find in the Bible is 1 Corinthians 2, 5 to 17. 2 Corinthians 5:17, which is one of my most favorite scriptures, and you all know it well. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, they are a new creation. The old has gone, the new has begun. It's a new beginning. You know, when one gives their life to Christ, it means not one bit where you have come from. It matters nothing what you've come out of or what your current situation might be right now. It's irrelevant to God because in God we all have the opportunity to make a fresh start. Say amen. We all have the opportunity to do that. All believers do, or all humanity does. And then in Revelations 21:5 tells us that at the conclusion of this world, when the Lord returns, that his redemptive plan says, behold, I will make all things new. So it's going to happen again. God is going to redeem all that was lost. And I love that verse because where we are concerned, God did not say, I am making all new things. He said, I am making all things new. And there is a difference. There is a massive difference. If he said, I am making all things new, the implication there is that he would again destroy the whole of the human race like he did in the flood. I am making all things new, but he never said that. All new things, say again. I'm making all new things. He never said that. He said, I'm going to make all things new. And you can write the word after that again. New again. What that tells me is that God is a redeeming God. He can take who we are in one hand and redeem us and restore us into something new. On the other hand, that's what God can do. The word redeem means to purchase back, to liberate, to restore. So far from destroying humanity as he did in the flood, at the end of the age, God has made possible through Jesus Christ, the death and resurrection, a way to redeem and to restore that which sin has corrupted. This is not something that you and I can do ourselves. This is not something that we can wish or will it or even buy it. Humanity is powerless to redeem. Only God has the power to redeem that which has been lost. And as a child of God, he has absolutely redeemed you. And that should fill us all with gratitude. He has redeemed you. If you are a follower of Jesus, you have been redeemed, paid for. Jesus' blood paid for all of that stuff all of that sin, and he redeemed you and said, you are now my child. Isn't that an awesome thought? What a wonderful thought to have at the beginning of this year. So in the context of new beginnings, I want to begin by reading Jeremiah 29:11. In the context of new beginnings, Jeremiah 29:11 says this. And while you're there, turn with me to Psalms 121 in your Bible as well, and just hold that thought. Jeremiah 29:11 says this. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. Now, the context of Jeremiah 29, Israel was just about to go into 70 years of exile with the Babylonians. They'd been defeated. Babylonians had kind of taken them under their wing, but not in the positive sense. And they were in exile, or slavery, if you like, would be a better word for it. 70 years this was going to go on for. And Jeremiah was prophesying that. And as part of that prophecy, he says this, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Really? Plans to give you a hope and a future. But we're just about to go into exile for 70 years. How do you figure this one? We'll find out in a second. But you know those plans that God had for Israel back then to prosper them, to give them a hope in the future? They're the same plans he has for you, same plans that he has for our church, same plans that he has for everyone. You know, God knows that currently, living under the curse of our fallen world, it's not easy for us. Last year was a real challenge for a whole host of us, particularly those in our congregation who lost loved ones. By the way, when I was sharing about the four dear souls that we lost, we didn't lose them of COVID. We lost them through COVID. So just to be accurate about that. God understands that we will go through and face trials at times. He also understands that we will mess up and we'll fall down. We'll kind of crash. But here's the truth about falling down. It's not in the falling down that determines your future. It's getting back up and what we do when we get back up. That determines your future. Not the fact that you're going to go through face a death experience, the death of a loved one, which we're all going to go through that. Not that you're going to maybe lose a job or lose a good friendship or even a marriage. I was about to say we're all going to go through that, but that's not true. Although I have, that's for sure. It's that in the midst of all of that, we have a God that cares for us, that loves us, and that there is a hope in the future in spite of that. When we put our trust and our faith in him, when we trust him, when we trust his way, his word, there is a hope and there is a future. So when you fall down, it's not the falling down that determines your future. It's the getting back up and what we do when we get back up. As I said, Israel were in exile for 70 years. During that time, they might have thought that God had forgotten them, but he had not forgotten them. According to his plan and his time frame, he was going to bring them out of that captivity, which indeed he did do 70 years later. And you read it for yourself, and then the rest is history. You know, some people, here's the point I want to make. Some people grow through a difficult time. Others stay stuck in it and never recover from it. But here's the thing, whether you're stuck in it or grow through it, what is true of humanity is simply this. There is something of God's nature when we ask Jesus to come into our life. There is something of the nature of God within the human soul that wants the opportunity to begin again, to start afresh, to have a fresh beginning. And we see this most clearly in Psalms 121. If you turn to it, Psalms 121 verses 1 to 8. I'll read it out to you. It says this, and this is David. I lift up my eyes to the mountains. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forevermore, even in 2021. David was being persecuted by his enemies. And the reality for David was if God didn't intervene and intervene quickly, they were going to kill him. Is everyone hot? Can we have the... I don't know who turned the cooling off earlier on, but could you turn it back on again, please? Because it's pretty warm up here. If it starts to get too cold for you, just put your hand up and say it's too cold, and I'll just nod. I see that hand, Kathy. Someone put an arm around Kathy. Here we go. So David was being persecuted by his enemies. And if God didn't intervene, he would soon face death. And far from accepting this end, David turned to God and lamented his situation. And God answered his prayer. This is the short version. And in verses 7 and 8, he was able to declare that the Lord had heard his cry of distress, rescued him from certain death, and here's the thing, and set him up again to begin again, a new beginning, a fresh start. And that's indeed what happened to David. David's dilemma pictures that wonderful scripture, one of my most favorite in the Old Testament. Do you have favorite scriptures? Yep, yep, well, hold on to them, because Genesis 50:20 in the Old Testament is one of my most favorite. Remember Joseph and Joseph and his brothers, they had they'd tried to murder him, they'd thrown him into a pit, he'd been sold into slavery, and as far as they were concerned, he was dead. And then he became prime minister of Egypt, and they were in a great famine, and Egypt had a lot of food because God had used Joseph. And so at some point, these Israelite people came to Egypt to essentially beg for food. And guess who was in charge of the granary? Joseph. He was in charge. But they didn't recognize him as the brother that they had tried to kill and get rid of. And when he revealed himself to them, he said this to them in Genesis 50:20. You, my brothers, my words I put in there, intended to harm me, but God intended it for good to accomplish what has now been done, the saving of many lives. You see, new beginnings, an opportunity to start over is a theme that's found throughout Scripture from Genesis right through to Revelations. We see it most evidently in the account of Noah and the flood. When they came out of the boat, everything had gone. It was just them, and it was a whole new start. God cleansed the earth with water, but he said, I'll never do it again. Not like that. And hence that we have the rainbow, which signifies a fresh beginning. And I quoted earlier, then there's the children of Judah who'd returned from captivity after 70 years in Babylon. And God brought them back to their homeland. And there they rebuilt the nation. They actually rebuilt the temple, a whole new beginning. And then I quoted earlier Revelations 21, where God promises at the end of time, at the end of his time, at the end of this earth time, he says, I am going to make all things new, a whole new beginning. You see this theme all through Revelations, from Revelations to Genesis, if you're going backwards. There is this theme that God is going to restore and bring back and make new to redeem that which has been lost. Say amen. Hallelujah. So, two quick observations that I want to conclude with this morning. Two very quick observations. And I'll need a drink of water to say the first one. Because this is specifically aimed and targeted at everyone here that's over 65. Shall I get you to put your hand up? No, because I'd have to put my hand up. So come on, everyone that's 65 and over, put your hands up. Come on now. That's good. There they go, folks. So speaking to you, speaking to you. The retirement age, well, quote unquote. Here's the first point. I want you to catch this in your spirit, you people. That God is a God of the second chance. God is a God of the second half of your life. You recall the story of Joshua and Caleb with Moses. They're at the gateway, if you like, to the promised land. This is the first time. And Moses sent out 12 spies, one from each tribe. And he said, I want you 12 to go into that land that God has already given us. That's our land. God's given it to us. He's promised it to us. But I want you to go and spy it out and bring me back a report of what you find when you go there. So they all tootle off. And Caleb, and Joshua are part of the 12. Remember the story. Joshua and Caleb, when they came back with a good report. Said, the land's flowing with milk and honey. And the jolly grapes, it takes two men to carry one jolly bunch of grapes. Imagine that. Imagine how much wine you can make out of that one bunch. You know, it was just massive. Then the whole land, and there it is. It's there for us. The other 10 came back with a bad report. They were saying things like, the people are too strong for us. There's even giants in the land. We look like grasshoppers in their eyes. And they said, if we try to take that land, we will fail. That's the other 10. And their negativity caused the hearts of the people to sink so low that the whole nation refused to enter Canaan, the promised land. Read that in Joshua 14. Here's the message for us today right there. It's not wrong for us to be cautious. In fact, I think that's wisdom. But it is always wrong to always be negative. It is always wrong. Joshua and Caleb, these two guys, however, they were of a different spirit. They were a different, somehow they were just different from these other 10. They were of a completely different spirit. It says of them that they followed the Lord wholeheartedly. Their words were, we can take this land that the Lord has promised us. We can take this land. It's a definite article. He didn't say in a good day we might be able to do it. He said, we can do this. God has promised it to us. It is ours. All we have to do is just step in and possess it. Sadly, the people listened to the other 10 and not to them, which just proves the point that the majority are not always right, are they? Majority are not always right. And because of the majority's negativity, their short-sightedness, for the next 40 years, the nation wandered round and round in circles in a desert. You know the story. I'm speaking to 65 plus here. Okay, just want to remind you. The second half of your life. Listen to this. Caleb was about 40 years old when the desert wandering experience began. He was about 40. Moses had earlier promised Caleb that the land upon which his feet had walked when they went in the first time and came back with their good report, and the other 10 had the negative report, that the land that he had walked on would eventually become his inheritance. After 40-odd years of wandering, so he's 40-something, and another 40 years of going around this desert, he's now 85 years old. Listen to this, you that are over 65. He's now 85 years of age. There's hope for me. He's 85. And I want you to hear this clearly into your spirit, these people, you people. Age should never, ever be a barrier. Not in the kingdom of God. Now, your health might restrict you. That's sure. That's true. Your health might restrict you. But not your age. Not your age. Listen to Joshua 14:10-13. I'll read it to you. Now then, just as the Lord promised. He has kept me alive, this is Caleb speaking, for 45 years since the time he said this to Moses while Israel moved about in the wilderness. So here I am today, 85 years old. Everyone say 85. 85 years old. I am still as strong today as the day Moses sent me out. I'm just as vigorous to go out to battle as I was then. Now give me that hill country you promised. That's what he said to him. Give it to me. It wasn't a demand of arrogance. It was a promise that God had made to him 40 years beforehand that he had yet to inherit, yet to possess, yet to step into his destiny. 40 years later, when he said, now give me that hill country, he wasn't demanding anything that he was not entitled to. God had promised it to him, and he was holding on to that promise for dear life. You know, I'm looking at some of you senior folk today, including you, Rudolph. If you want to have a wonderful experience, relational experience, go over to India with this guy as part of the team. We had a wonderful time, eh? It was a wonderful time. And I'm asking you folk this morning. What has God called you to do that you have yet to complete? What promises has God given you earlier in your life that still remain unfulfilled? Listen to Caleb. Now give me this hill country. Even though I'm 85, I'm as strong as I was at 40. You know, this hill country was full of walled cities and full of giants. Who would want that? Well, Caleb did. The old guy did. And he took it. You know, I can imagine, and I'm only kind of trying to paint a picture. I don't know. I wasn't there. Might look like I might have been there, but I wasn't there. But I could imagine all the young guys and girls that were there at the time listening to this 85-year-old saying, that's mine. I want that. I don't care how big the giants are. I don't care how big the walls are. That's mine. I could imagine a lot of these young people saying, stupid old fool, doesn't have a clue what he's doing. But who proved to be the greater person? He did. Because he took God's promise, not in his head, but he took it into his heart. And he said, that's mine. That's mine. And God gave it to him. 85 years of age. Caleb's example tells me it's never too late. The Caleb spirit tells me that God is the God of the second chance. I'm sure that there are obstacles that he had to overcome during those 40 years of waiting. I'm sure there were. He probably stumbled along the way a few times, but how many of you know that running stumble-free doesn't make you a winner? Finishing well does. That makes you a winner. You see, we serve a God who can redeem our mistakes, who can restore what we've lost. Caleb did not settle for second best. And you don't have to either. Second point, I'll get there very quickly, and this is for everyone. Forget the past and reach for a new future. Every experience that we've had from the moment you were born till now has shaped you for who you are right now. Every experience, good or bad. In fact, I would go so far as to say that those experiences collectively probably determine the way we act and react and respond to any situation in life today. But Jesus said in Matthew 12:35, a good person produces good things from the treasury of a good heart, and an evil person produces evil things from the treasury of an evil heart. So Jesus was not condemning people for making bad choices, not at all. We all do that. But he's using a tree and its fruit as an analogy. And he was saying simply this: we have a choice of becoming a tree that either produces good fruit, or we have a choice of becoming a tree that produces other kind of fruit, bad fruit. There are things stored up in each one of us, church, that we must hand over to God. We must do that. We must hand it over before we can move ahead with him into this next beginning, this new beginning, this new season, whatever this new beginning means. The stuff that's been in my life that I've had to hand over to God that set me up for that next step, to take that next walk towards that destiny that God had purposed for me. And it's true for you too. There are things that'll hold us back if we do not deal with those things. I'm talking very honestly and straight to you this morning about this. You must deal with that stuff if you want to move on with God's plan for your life. You must. Now, if you don't, what does that mean? Doesn't mean that you're going to hell. Doesn't mean that you've lost your salvation. Doesn't mean any of that stuff. But it does mean that you'll probably end up being stuck right where you are. And until you address and deal with that stuff, you are stuck in it. You can't move forward. It's not that God doesn't want you to move forward. It's kind of like God saying, come on, trust me in this. Trust me in this. Step out into the abyss. You know, trust me in this. And you can trust him. But unless you make that step, which is going to be my final point soon, a free will choice, you'll stay stuck. Who wants to stay stuck? No one that I know. No thinking person would want to stay stuck in their past, especially if it's not a great one. And that's why Paul wrote in 1 Philippians 3, forgetting those things which are behind, there we are, and reaching forward to those which are ahead. Read that to yourself in your spirit. Read it now. You know, I think for some people, that would be really, really helpful if you developed a forgettery. Fair enough, Rob, fair enough. You know, because as long as you hold on to the past, you'll never step into your future. And in Christ, you can begin again. You can start afresh. I was 28 years of age before I stepped into the kingdom of God for real. And I've never regretted one second of it. I've had my challenges, had my moments, but I've never regretted that decision. I am very, very grateful for that decision. In Christ, you can begin again. Here's a word for some of you today. Please take this into your spirit if this is you. Forget the past and reach for a new future. Leave the past behind. Leave 2020 behind. Don't keep looking back like this and stepping into 21 and looking back. Don't do that. Don't do that. You know, the Apostle Paul, you know, we think he's, in my opinion, the greatest of the New Testament apart from Jesus. Incredible what God was able to do through him. Amazing, an amazing person. But you know, the Apostle Paul had a lot to forget. A huge amount to forget. You know, it was on his orders that Stephen, the first Christian martyr, was stoned to death. His name was Saul at the time, on his orders, while he watched. This is Paul, the apostle. And after that incident, we believe that there are an awful lot more orphans and widows that happened as a result of his persecution of the church before he came to faith. So he was kind of responsible for all of that. He had an awful lot to forget. And here's my point. If Paul hadn't have learned to deal with the past, Do you think he would have been capable of writing half of the New Testament, which he did write? I don't think so. I don't believe he would have been capable of doing any of that stuff if he had been stuck in the past. Do you realize that when he came to faith, he went back to those towns and those cities that he'd persecuted Christians in? Do you think the widows and the orphans would have remembered him? I think they would have. Do you think they would have had an opinion about this guy? You're really a Christian? Are you really? I think they would have had an opinion. But Paul had to put all that behind him and move forward with what God had promised him. Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those which are ahead. You know, if Paul was able to be redeemed, which he was, God was able to restore him, he can do it for you. And my final point, whether we experience a new beginning or stay as we are is always a choice that we have. You ever wondered why there are two crosses, one either side of Jesus? There's Jesus, then one either side. Ever wondered why that was? Well, I think it's because God was symbolizing the gift of choice that we all have. Do you remember the story? Jesus is in the middle. There's a criminal thief there and another one there. One of them cursed Jesus. And what did the other one do? Trusted in Christ and said, remember me when you're in your Father's kingdom. And Jesus said, this day you will be with me in paradise. These two guys had a choice. One chose to go that way, one chose to go that way. Max Lucado says this, while we rejoice at the thief who changed, we dare not forget the one who didn't. In my faith experience, this is me now, not Lucado, don't know him. There are times when God has easily gotten my attention through his word or a word from a trusted friend, a trusted advisor, maybe one of the elders. And there have been times, and often this is the case for me, I don't know about you, but there have been times when God has actually been silent. Just silent. And it's in those times that I've come to realize that God is honoring me with the freedom to choose. He's actually honoring me with the freedom to choose. He's not going to take that out of my hands. It's my choice to go left or to go right. To curse God as one thief did, or the other that says, remember me in your kingdom this day. And Jesus said, you will be with me in paradise. Well, we know little about the thief that repented, but we do know this, in the end, his bad choices were redeemed by a solitary good choice. He chose Jesus. One good choice. Out of all the bad choices that he had made, he chose Christ. No matter how many bad choices you have made, friend, you can be fully redeemed by one good choice. And that one good choice is a choice to commit your life to following Christ. Through the thick and the thin, the good, the bad, the ups and downs, COVID or no COVID, is a choice to follow him or not to follow him. Bring the team up, please, Steve. I want to leave you with Isaiah 43, which says this. There it is on the board. Let's stand, please, and let's read this together. Let's read this together. Forget the former things. I just want to finish with this before we before Steve leads us in the final song. Promises of God, God's desire to bless his children, last week's message, today that there are new beginnings, there's opportunity for new starts, fresh starts for everybody. Those promises are not given to individuals only. They're given to the collective body of Christ. They're given to individuals as well. They're given to families, to groups of people, the whole spectrum. I was thinking about this just yesterday, actually. Take our church collectively. This year, we are in this incredible position where we can look at the year ahead, and we can look back at the promises that God made over this church long before I arrived. Some of you were here back then. Robin, I think you were here back in those days. Promises that God had made over this church that have yet to be fulfilled. Robin, that would be true? Yeah. Andrew, you'd remember this? Some others of you. I was thinking about this yesterday, and we are now in this incredible position coming into this year where we can legitimately and realistically dream about how we can complete just the building part of things here, which was promised all those years ago, which never happened. But now we're going to find ourselves soon in a financial position to be able to step into that and do it. Here's the question. Are you going to look back, or are you going to look forward? Are you going to be satisfied with the status quo, where we are now, or willing to look back at what God had originally intended, like he did for Caleb, and 40 years later, it was realized? For our church, we can look back 20 years ago at what was promised that was never done. Same thing, same principle. Are we going to be of the spirit of the 10 spies, or the spirit of Caleb and Joshua? That's our choice, eh, Steve? It's our choice. And we're going to be at some point in this year, as we step into this year going forward, when all of this stuff winds up and we know what we've got in our hands, we're going to be faced with that decision. And you know what, for me, even though you're cold, Kathy, sorry about that, I am looking forward to that decision. I'm looking forward to seeing what God is going to do in your spirit through us, and hopefully we'll all be on the same page and step into a whole new future. New beginnings, fresh starts. But that's also true for you as an individual person. I don't know what's going on in your life. You do, and God does. But I want to give you an opportunity right now. I want to give you an opportunity to hand that over to him. We're going to sing whatever song we're singing, that one there. Yeah. We're going to sing that song, and just really want you to, in your own heart, say, God, what are you saying to me as I utter these words? Don't let them just be words that are on a screen and you just sing them out in a tune. Let it be a prayer. Let it be a cry of your heart. And if you would like us to pray for you, we'd love to be able to do that. Please give us that opportunity. Come down the front. There's a team here. We will do that. Other than that, after the end of the service, we'll go into the Lakeside Lounge. I'm just going to just pray, Steve. Father, we welcome your Holy Spirit here now. Thank you, God, for your word. We thank you for the promises of your word. We thank you, Lord, that you are a God of blessing, and you are a God of fresh starts and new beginnings. You're the God of hope. You're the living hope. And we just welcome your spirit now, Lord, and ask that you would minister, Lord, to your people here, that you would speak into our lives, speak into our situations, speak into our hearts. Open the eyes of our heart, Lord, to see what you have in your hand for us. Close off those things, God, that would cause us to look back. Blind our eyes to those things that are not necessary. But open our eyes to those things, Lord, that you have for us. Come by your Spirit, Lord, and fill this place afresh. In Jesus' name.